Most of you didn't come to church with the Bible. Who came to church with the Bible? And Mr. Sound, you have to fix whatever it is that you need to fix. All right, you can hold your mics and you can sit down, but just hold on to your microphones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which one of you has a song for us? There's a song. Who has that song? Who has the song? Somebody should sing it. Come on, just minister to us.
We worship you. We worship you.
Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me? Good. So, how has the prayer and fasting been? Say this with me, a new man is arising. Say it again, a new man is arising. You believe it? Wow, it's been a blessing. Being a blessing, praying, studying God's word, receiving the ministry of the word all at the same time. It's been such a tremendous blessing. And it continues, right?
Yes.
And we're excited that it continues, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. So if you have not been fasting, and you haven't been praying, and you haven't been joining the congregational worship and prayer, make sure that you resume today. Praise the Lord. Look beside you. If there's a face that you haven't been seeing at the prayers, tell them repent. Now, if both of you are strange, tell yourselves repent. Both of you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. We are studying on the art of war. The art of war. Thank you. Thank you, young men. Thank you. We're studying on the art of war. And it becomes necessary to study these because that God said it does not mean it will happen. Not many people like to accept this, but it's the truth, absolute truth, that God said it is not proof that it will happen. It doesn't mean it will happen. There are quite a number of things God said that didn't happen. You're shocked? Quite a number of them in scriptures. God said it and it did not happen. And if you've been a part of this church for a bit, you already, at the top of your mind, have examples of such. I've shared with you several times over the months and over the years. For example, God said to Hezekiah he would die. He didn't die. God changed his mind and added 25 years. Not that Hezekiah. God said to... I mean, you have several examples, all through scripture. There's the man word involvement. There's what we must do to make prophecy happen. And interestingly, that's not a responsibility that you can abdicate to anybody else. You can't delegate it to someone to say, well, you know, I want you to help me ensure. You know, that those who want to delegate that responsibility to the pastor, if he's powerful enough, what he said will happen. For example, if you study 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and you read a few chapters after that, you read about Elijah receiving a word from the Lord that rain was coming to Israel. And Elijah went to declare that word. He found Obadiah, the chief of staff of Ahab, who was a righteous man. And so he told Obadiah, go tell the king Ahab that rain is coming. And Obadiah said, I ain't going to do that. You're a wanted man in the land. Ahab put a bounty on your head. If anyone finds you, and no one has found you, now I know if I go tell him, before I return, you disappear. So Elijah had to promise him, I will stay. Okay? He had to promise him. He said, I'll stay, don't worry. I'll be here. And then he prophesied to the king that rain was coming, that God had told him that rain was coming. Now, when you read James' account, in James the 5th chapter, it says that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain. And then he prayed earnestly that it might rain, and then it did rain. In essence, he didn't say the rain came because God said it would come. James said the rain came because Elijah prayed. Not because God said it will come. Are there several things God has said concerning you that has not happened?
And it's important that we start studying these at the beginning of the year, because there's a lot of prophecy. You're alive to prophecy right now. You know, many people, by the time they get to March, April, they are so consumed by what's happening in the year that they don't even remember any word from the Lord until their birthday. They go, oh, none has happened this year. Praise God forevermore. So we're studying on the art of war, enforcing prophecy through spiritual warfare, making prophecy a reality in your life through spiritual warfare. The measure of prophecy that's fulfilled in your life is your responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's your responsibility, the measure of prophecy that's fulfilled in your life. Now, it's important to say this from the outgoing, from the outset, that spiritual warfare is actually a complex subject. Now, not complex because the material cannot be explained, but complex because there's a lot of ideologies. Different people have different ideas of what spiritual warfare really is about. To help you before we go further, I want to give you the five aspects to spiritual warfare, so you'd understand that all we are studying in this series is just one aspect, okay? So you don't, and here's the mistake people make sometimes. Somebody teaches one aspect to the exclusion of the others. Then so you find those who think there ain't no devil really after all. The believer is free from the devil and from demons. And so they live their lives as though there's no evil realm of the spirit. Yet you have those who overemphasize as though that's all there is to Christianity. You come to church and all the prayers is fighting the devil. They don't even know how to worship. Receive this living sacrifice. Finish. They want to get to warfare. Because until they pray that way and shake their heads and have them sweating all over, they don't think they have done anything. I thought this over a five-day period where I tried to cover the different aspects of spiritual warfare. So you don't expect that I'm going to be able to give you everything. Now, but I'll just give you the five of them. Number one is the battlefield of the mind. The battlefield of the mind. That's actually the most important aspect to spiritual warfare. In fact, every other is built on this. The battlefield of the mind. And if you remember, I shared with you that the mind is the battlefield, but the war is won in your mouth. If you remember, it was a series on winning invisible battles. Now, I know it was a virtual series, but I'm sure the media guys can get the materials for you, because it was 5 days of teaching on this subject. Hours upon hours, just pouring through scriptures, trying to lay a foundation for this. Okay, number two is the crucifixion of the flesh. Much of what believers call Satan is their flesh. Much of what they call Satan is their flesh. You know, one of the works of the flesh is witchcraft. Galatians, the 5th chapter, it lists witchcraft as one of the works of the flesh. Pharmakopoeia, the Greek word. And what is witchcraft? The manipulation of thoughts by injecting words, suggestions. That's where you get pharmacy from. A drug is introduced into the body to manipulate it in a certain way to produce a certain result. Okay? But thank God our pharmacists are born again now. Okay? But it's the same word. The Greek word for witchcraft. Number three, the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, which is what was studied in this series. The good fight of faith, where you are standing your ground to ensure that God's word is a reality in your life. Number four, exercising authority through prevailing prayers. It's another scope in the school of spiritual warfare. And the last and the greatest, your love walk. your love walk. Your love walk is your greatest spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the third one, right? That's the good fight of faith, right? So sometimes you hear them call it the good fight of faith. Whatever terminology is used, you just got to understand what we're trying to deal with at the time. And that's what we're trying to deal with. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. When we receive God's word, we are being changed from inside out. As the word of God is being ministered, as you're receiving God's word, you're being changed from inside out. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." It was a charge that Paul gave to his protege in the faith, his son in the faith. It says, "According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." So when it tells us that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Now, one of the weapons that he's given us for warfare is prophecy. Are you following me? Prophecy. Now, prophecy is inspired utterance. It's that utterance that God's Spirit gives to you to give you direction, to bring you comfort, to exhort you, to bring you consolation. Inspired utterance. It could be as given by the ones God has said over you. It could even be brethren to brethren. It could be from your prayer life. You're spending time in prayer and words begin to float out of your spirit into your consciousness. You begin to declare those words because those are the words God has given to you concerning your life. Now, the first thing you've got to realize is that the Bible teaches us to give attention to prophecy. Don't despise prophesying. For example, somebody receives the word and says, as one man's, they have come again. Every year, there's always something. Their English just increases every year. They just change the English. Let nobody deceive you. Every year is the same thing. It's your hard work that matters. Well done. Praise the Lord. Well done. He says, despise not prophesying. If he tells us not to despise prophesying, it does mean that we will have reason to despise it. It looks like, what's the big deal? Why, what's the big deal to all these words that you say God has given to you? The words that you have written in your notes, the things God has shown you, and particularly when it seems as though those things are not coming to pass. Because many a times, and I'm going to show you from scripture. Today, we're just laying a foundation. Many times, when the word of God comes to you, the first person that shows up is Satan. The sower went to sow the seed of the word. Who was the first that showed up? The birds of the air. And Jesus tells us that's Satan who came to steal the word from them. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So he says, what do we do with prophecy? That you might as war a good warfare by the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. There's a warfare that you're expected to get into, get involved in. Else these words will fall to the ground. Yeah. And you wonder, did God really say it? Can I ask you a question? How many of you have asked yourself, did God really say it? You're wondering, I thought I heard God. It's one of the ironies of the Christian faith. You thought you heard God. You were sure God spoke this word to you. But all of a sudden, you can't find it in your life. You know why? What becomes a reality in your life is what you have fought for. Is what you fought for. Prophecies are not self-fulfilling. You have to understand that. Prophecies are not self-fulfilling. God said it does not mean it will happen. Prophecies are not self-fulfilling. All through scriptures, we see that. Every time God spoke, he had to partner with a human vessel for that thing to be fulfilled in the earth. Glory to God. Are you still here? I want you to see a scripture. In the book of Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy, the second chapter, verse 24. If I can have it up, I'd love for everyone to see it. Beautiful. Can we all read Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24 together? One to go. What does it say? Just a second. I will give you Sion. Is that what he said? Come on, talk to me. What does I have mean? It's done. If God says to you, I have given you Sion, it means you can go to town and tell them, I have Sion. And you won't be lying. But observe the next thing. Continue reading. Let's start from behold again. One to go. So we begin. Come on, say begin. Begin. Begin to possess it. And what? Contend with him in battle. I have given you, but you begin to possess. And how do you begin to possess? By contending in battle. The many things you have been given, have you contended in battle? Many things you've been given. I want you to know that one of the things that a lot of God's children are not well trained in is the art of spiritual warfare. It's actually something that steadily is being lost to the body of Christ. The art of spiritual warfare at every level. At every level. Let me tell you something very powerful. And I need you to listen to this. When a minister of God declares a word over your life, by the strength of his anointing, that word may begin to find fulfillment without your involvement. But whatever you did not fight for, you cannot keep. Whatever you didn't contend for, you cannot keep. This is important. It is why people lose miracles. By the anointing, they get a miracle. But you don't keep the miracle by an anointing. You keep it by a fight of faith. Is somebody still here this morning? So we're called to fight. Did you hear what I said? We're called to fight. It's the Christian journey, it's the Christian occupation to fight. Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sion the Amorite. He's yours. King of Ishbon and his land, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So this morning, you will begin to possess. Okay? And I want to show you how. Are you ready? Write this down. You don't watch prophecies. You war with prophecies. You don't watch prophecies. You war with prophecies. There are a couple of thoughts that I'm going to give to you, and we'll just itemize them one, two, and if wherever we get to in this service, we'll pick it up by the next service. You know, during the week, we are teaching on the man God uses. And this new week, we're starting the part B, which is, what is it? Usability over availability. Circumcision and consecration. We're going to start that this week. So I'm just going to be able to share with you the thoughts about the art of war just on Sunday. Okay? So we're going to try to get as much as we can get within the little time that we have. And trust that you go back and do a bit more study for yourself and put it to practice. Glory to God. Number one. Principle number one. We're talking about the art of war. The first step to victory in spiritual warfare is to know your enemy and his strategies. This is the first and cardinal step to victory in spiritual warfare. Too many people are fighting what they should not be fighting, who they should not be fighting. The first step to victory is to know who your enemy really is. Your enemy is no human person. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is no human person. So you don't take offense in no human person. You have to know who your enemy really is and what his strategies are. If you know who he is and what his strategies are, then you can contain him and put him at bay. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, I told you, over those 5 days, I thought extensively on who the enemy is. But there's an aspect I want to get across to us, which is this whole domestication of devils. We even give them petty names now. We give them good names. We give them good names. So for example, somebody says, you know, I just have this thing that every now and then, I just feel very depressed. Domestication of devils, giving them good names and accepting them as though they're part of our lives. If you don't know who you're fighting, then your warfare is in vain. If you don't know what his strategies are, then your warfare is in vain. Now, we know that his number one strategy is suggestions. He suggests thoughts and ideas that are contrary to the word of God into your mind. That's his number one strategy. Let me read you a scripture. Go to Mark chapter 4. I want you to see something important there. Verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Any theology that tells you there are no devils and no demons is setting you up for failure. And any theology that grants them undue authority is as well setting you up for failure. You know, you have a lot of people from the Western world who tell you that because they don't have juju like you have it in this part of the world, or voodoo, then they do have it, okay? They have it. They have it. Now, but they tell you, oh, you know, there are not much devils and demons. That's not the truth. There are more devils over there than here. There are more devils. A lot more devils. How do you wake up and tell yourself you're not a man when God created you a man? That has to be a devil. It's a demon spirit. And it becomes so domesticated that it gets into the legislature, the judiciary. Becomes so domesticated that it's celebrated. How did we get here? Devils. On rampage. Pastor was preaching and then he said his daughter came home. And then he asked the daughter. Now, he's based in over there. And asked the daughter, oh, how was so-and-so's birthday? Because it was the daughter's friend's birthday in school. And the daughter said, Shim had a good bet. He said, what is that? Is that her name? No. She said, no, that's not her name. She's a Shim. This was secondary school, college, or whatever they call it. So the pastor said, what do you mean by Shim? He said, she's not sure yet. The pastor said, well, I'll get you to another school. Glory to God. That's a lot of devils. Are you forms in here? And if you like, keep domesticating them. Giving them petty names. You know, it's just the little demon that is in our family. It's just something that we have to deal with in our family. Don't give them English names. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Look at this. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, I want you all to read what he said to them. Let us pass over onto the other side. Prophecy always shows the other side. This is where we are. What is the other side? It always shows us the other side. He always shows us what is ahead. The other side. Now, when Jesus said, let us pass to the other side, what happened? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Everybody read verse 37. Want to go. And there arose a great storm of wind, And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. What did Jesus say? Let's go to the other side. What was the essence of the waves and the winds? To stop them from going to the other side. So every time Jesus speaks into your life, Satan throws up challenges. He said, let's go to the other side. If they did not get to the other side, they did not fulfill what he had said. Are you following it? So even Jesus spoke and Satan showed up. And in this case, he was in the boat with them. Let's go to the other side. What are those words of prophecy you've received in your life? You think they will go uncontested? You think they will go unchallenged? Say, God, how come you spoke to me and all of this is happening in my life? Because he spoke to you. That's why it's happening. If he didn't speak, there will be nothing happening. You're not worth the attention of Satan. But when a man receives the word, Satan knows this is the word that defeated him. Kaya. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He knows. He knows the... I believe Satan understands the capacity of the word more than many Christians. So he did not come for the sower. He came for the seed. That's what matters. If I get the seed, every other thing is sorted. So all of a sudden you start asking yourself, did he say we should go to the other side? Now you're losing the seed. Now you're losing the word. Now Satan is gaining the advantage and the victory. Why? Because he's causing you to doubt what he said. Brothers and sisters, he said, go to the other side. Hiya. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Ain't nothing going to stop us. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You have to have a spine of steel. You are set on the direction that you're going. Let him throw the winds and the waves. We're getting to the other side. Say this, I'm getting to the other side. And you're not going to wish it. You're not going to wish it. Look at what happens. Are you still in church? Hey, hello, 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 hello. Hello, do you have your Bibles with you? Come on. Look at what it says. Verse 37 again. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The wind and the wave. The wind is unseen. The wave is seen. The wave is that water that comes and hits the boat. But the wave has no power by itself except by the unseen wind. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is important. Look at what Jesus did. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We know you are ready to die. You already said it. Carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, not the wave. Not the wave. Not the wave. He didn't rebuke what they could see. He knew that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? He rebuked the wind. Many are trying to contain the wave. The wave of depression. They take one drug or the other. Is there anything wrong with medicine? I trained as a doctor. I'd have wasted my life if I didn't believe in it. Medicine will keep you alive till your faith kicks in many times. And for some of you, that migraine headache is not even allowing you to meditate on scriptures. No, I'm not. You better take the pill so you have a clear head to meditate. Because if you don't take the pill and the migraine is not letting you meditate, you are losing on both sides. So doctors are from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, but all they can do is to try to mitigate against the waves. And for a while, you have some respite. You go, oh yeah, you know, from February to September, usually, it's just fine. But by October, you know why? Because the wind will still come again. And it's the unseen one. You can only see the effects. Are you following me? Interestingly, the word translated wind, as used all through scriptures, is the same word we use for Holy Spirit. Wind. Because wind is spirit. It now depends on which spirit. Glory to God. Are you still here? You're getting anything this morning? So some of you have to say, Satan, stop, stop. Now in the name of Jesus, the carnage over my family, it's over. Now you've got to stop. The word of the Lord says, we shall live and not die. Now you're taking the word of God and fighting against that thing. You don't go, oh, so what do we do now? What do we do now? Okay, let's call Pastor Ayo. What do we do now? What if Pastor Ayo's phone is unreachable? Because there are times my phone will be unreachable. So what are you going to do? Somebody said they will run to my house. Well, I have moved, okay? Oh, boy. He says, and he arose and rebuked the wind, hallelujah, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, what manner of man, not what manner of God, what manner of man? They knew it was a man. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You all will think this was all. Chapter 5. We are still going to the other side. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to the other side. So those of you that are wondering, am I the only one on earth? Why am I always having problem in my life? Because you are going to the other side. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You say, what did I do? Pastor, I'm just tired of this life. I'm just tired. I don't want to do it again. Oh, Pastor, I'm not fasting. I fasted last year, nothing changed. Don't fast. Did you hear what I said? Don't fast. Be eating. Continue. You fasted. At least you survived. Now you are eating. Ah! When they pull the arrow. Once you get there. Glory to God.
Even my sister. I know.
What do you know?
He does not tight. We have always tight. The devourer has devour.
You're in a fight. We don't cry in fights. Do you understand what I'm saying here? No, we don't call for a pity party. You don't know, why did they do that to me? Why? No, we don't call for a pity party. We stand tall with the word of God. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? We're in a fight. And what do we do? The Bible says, having done all, stand, glory to God. Stand. You'll be tempted to bow, but no, stand. Sometimes when you're standing, your spine is paining you, but what? Stand. Sometimes you're tired of standing, but what? Stand. We got to stand. That's the only response in battle. Ziko pande, jelomon gradiatuste, patakabaya. Ah, stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I hear the Spirit telling someone, it's time to stand. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, stand for your children. Stand for your money. Stand for your family. Stand. Stand. Hallelujah. Say, I stand. Aha. I said, I stand. Devil, throw your best shots. What train for war? What train for battle? We don't cower back. We don't run back. We stand tall in the face of the enemy. I stand. 7 years, the business has not been working. I stand. You know why?
Because right about now, the victory is showing up. Right about now, the victory is showing up.
Hallelujah. Somebody shouted, I stand.
I stand.
Years ago, I'll never forget it. I was praying. I was a lot younger than this. I was praying about a lot of things. I didn't think things were going the way I wanted them to go. But as I prayed, all of a sudden, this was about after about 3 hours, I had a vision of the Spirit. I saw myself bent over. And everything I was doing was like this. I was looking at myself. I thought to myself, how on earth are you going to get anything done? Then the word of the Lord came to me. Oh, yeah. Thou, O Lord, at my glory, and the lifter up of my head. So I looked at that man. Thou, O Lord, at my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Thou, O Lord, till the man stood tall. God told me, when you stand, things fall. I will never forget it. I'll never forget it. Too many are cowered over, bent over. You have to stand. Glory to God. Sit down for a bit. Sit down for a bit. Oh, if you have a prayer language, roar in the spirit. Cabra de geshona mandi. Hallelujah. So get used to it. Satan will come for the word. Satan will come for the word. He'll drop his best shots. You got a victory right now? He's on the door. He's on his way. You got a word right now? He's on his way. He's on his way. It's his strategy. You know, I was listening to a dear man of God. My wife and I sat across the table with him. And he was talking. And then he said to me, he said, don't you ever forget. He said, when God brought Israel out of Egypt with great power and great glory, 10 plagues, and Egypt was subdued, the moment they came out, the Red Sea was before them. How do you come out of that? Just celebrating, rejoicing. And the moment you see it, the Red Sea is here, and the chariots of Egypt are behind you. Sometimes, don't you feel like, maybe I should not have made this progress? Maybe I should not have taken this step? No. You know what God said to Moses? He said, stop praying about it. Tell the people. Tell the people. Stop contemplating going back. Stop wondering why my life is like this. You know what? Tell the people. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why quit your dream because of one challenge? Why quit your marriage because of one problem? Why quit that business because of that? What are you talking about?
Go forward. Hallelujah.
I always tell people when they come to me for counseling, there are only two results in life. Either your story inspires others that there can be victory in God.
Yes, sir.
Or your story becomes one of the placards Satan will wave around to say, see how I dealt with him. But I made up my mind long ago, that when God wants to inspire somebody, he'll say, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. You've got to think of your challenges that way. You've got to think of it that way. You've got to think of it that way. Are you still here? Chapter 5. We're not done. Verse 1. And after they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately, say with me, immediately. So after they came over again, they wanted to come over. Satan wanted to stop them. Finally, they came over. Immediately, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Only you. Have you heard when they say, only you, Waka, come? Only you. Then people begin to say, storm wanted to take you. Devil showed up in person again. You must have offended God. Is that not what Job's friend said? They said, no, Job. You know, those guys said a lot of nonsense. Elihu and the other guys said a lot of nonsense. At one point, they said to Job, Job, let's tell ourselves the truth. No man serves God in righteousness and his life goes down this way. Job, There must be something you have done. There must be something. I can imagine they were supposed to comfort him. Look at the comfort they were giving Job. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. You enter boat. Ooh, hey. Immediately you settle down and get to shore. Some of you don't read this story well. You see, these guys didn't tell us the full story. I'll tell you why. Because it will implicate them. If somebody starts manifesting in this place right now, you know what the believers will do? Now, I'm not saying the person fell under the power. Have you seen real manifestation? How many of you have seen real manifestation? I have been here for 450 years. I'm not going. Yeah! You know what the believers beside them will do? They'll just excuse themselves. In fact, the mothers will run to their children. I cover you. I plead the blood of Jesus. You know why? Because somewhere in their minds, that's a devil. That's a demon. So imagine a naked man who tore himself. The Bible says they couldn't hold him down. Shut up. What did you think Peter, James, and John did? Back into the boat, sir. Do you get what I'm saying here? Even when you get there, they'll scare you back. But you know what we do? We go forward. We take authority over that thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Say this, ain't no stopping us now. You know what I see? I see you getting bigger, stronger, mightier, more glorious. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I see you expanding. I hear your name being called in the palaces. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? You know why? Because we go what? Forward. We go forward. We go forward. Siko Pandi. We go forward. I said we go forward. You know the interesting thing? After they crossed through the Red Sea, they got to the place there was no water to drink again. As they drank the water, they said it was bitter. It was bitter. Then they began to complain. How could God bring us out of Egypt and one step to the other is problem upon problem? Because on your journey into that land, Satan will throw different things. Do you get what I'm saying here? When Moses spoke to God, what did God say? He said, take the cross. Take a stick representative of the cross. Throw it into the water. We don't cry about the water. We throw the provisions of the cross into the water. The waters may be bitter, but we say, by your stripes I am healed. Do you understand what we're saying here? We go forward. We go forward. Sit down for a bit. You getting anything this morning? Matthew chapter 14. I want to see something there again. Matthew chapter 14. Boy, oh boy, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is all over me. Dear Jesus, what an anointing. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he dispersed the multitudes. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray, apart to pray. Oh boy, this is beautiful. Jesus prayed. When even was come, he was there alone. But the sheep was now, you know, this is one of the trainings we need as believers. That being alone till you walk it out. Not conferring with flesh and blood. You have the temptation to pick your phone and call somebody. Drop it. He said, all right. They bring the report. Okay, I've heard. You hear whatever it is? I've heard. Thank you. You turn off the phone. You turn off whatever it is. You tell whoever it is, you're at work. Give me 30 minutes. Nobody should knock on this door. You kneel by your chair. Nipo katala angos. You know what you're doing? You're searching inside. Where's the sword? Where's the sword for this situation? Where's the sword for this situation? We must learn to handle situations with the word and prayer. Not conferring with people. There's the place to ask for counsel. But you have to understand that there is no wave without a wind. There's no wave without a wind. and waves are not managed by conference. They're not managed by conference. Sometimes when a situation is going for too long, withdraw yourself from it. What's the problem? Why is it this tough? Then you get back into prayer. You declare a fast sometimes. And you get what I'm saying here. And on your lips are the words God has given to you. He said, for example, 2021, it's the year of ascents. But nothing looks like it's ascending around you. You don't start saying, okay, let me go through my phone. I have 7 high network individuals that I can call. So you then group them. These 3 is for my tech business. These 2 is for my music business. This one is for that eatery. So you carry wine and go and give to the first one. They drink your wine. They refuse to pick your call. Now you're angry with them. You don't know that as you went there, they followed you. Oh, you didn't know that. Jesus said that every child that's born into this world has an angel. He says the angel of God, the angel of that child beholds the face of the Father. Do you think that by growing up, you lose your angel? The angel's primary responsibility is to bring you to redemption, to salvation. That's his primary responsibility, to guide your way. He knows that the one who will preach to you and you receive the message is in OAU, not Unilag. So he ensures that your father frustrates you from going to Unilag. It's the angel of the Lord. And then you get into that school. You are doing your courtesy, but by year 3, you meet that person. All planned by the angel of the Lord. If you understand the realm of the spirit, Satan has an exact copy of what God has. That's why there's what you call familiar spirits. They know you in toto. They grew up with you. They cause certain things to happen if your fathers and your mothers did not provide a covering. They know you. That's why a prophet who's not operating by the Spirit of God, a false prophet, can tell you things that are true. The evidence that is of God is not that what he said is true. Some of you went somewhere and they said, you know, the shirt you're wearing under, usually you wear white, but now it's black. Your number starts with 0. Your number starts with 0. Your number starts with 0. 0. I see. 07. Aya. He ends with 9. 07. And you say, hey! 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 Now, just a second. Am I saying you don't have pure flaws like that? Oh, you do. You do. But anything that glorifies the man is not of God. It's a familiar spirit. So you're wondering, But if they're not of God, how come they know my number? Ah, familiar spirits are. Familiar spirits. You think it's only angels following you? You really think it's only angels? Only that angels form a guard around you. So there's no penetration of these spirits. But there's never a time you are not followed. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's never a time. There's never a time down your trail. Particularly if you have held on to God's word. God's word is a smell for them. They know everyone that has caught the word. Do you understand what I'm saying here? They have only one task on earth. Get the word out of the hearts of people. So they look at this one, they look at that one, they look at that one. They're asking, who has gotten the word? They leave the others and come for the one that has the word. You're wondering, how come all of my family members are not born again? Nothing's happening in their life. It's because they don't have the word. He already has them in his hands. We have to stop you before you go too far. How? Get the word out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, and you know what? Did you remember what God said about Job? God is always boasting about us. Don't fall his hand. It's not Satan who went to say, I want to finish this your Job guy. It was God that was boasting. Have you seen my servant Job? Do you know how many times God is saying, have you seen my servant Bankole? And Satan says, that one, if I was him like this, is it that I am your sacrifice one? They are singing, they will leave it. Say, God, leave sacrifice. Fix me first. Sort me first. Leave sacrifice. You know, God's boasting about you. He's invested so much in you. It's like that car. You put in so much. You say, let's go on the racetrack. I
I can show you what he will do. God's boasting with your life. Are you following in it? Don't fail him. Tell the person beside you, don't fail God. Don't fail God. Don't fail God. Well, you know the rest of the story. The winds and the waves came again. But you see, here's the thing about the reality of demon spirits. There was a car that was, I think this was 1955. What's the guy's name? And you can read for yourself. You can study for yourself. James Dean. James Dean, that was his name, James Dean. He bought a car and he called it the Little Bastard. He called the car the Little Bastard. Well, let me read you a few things. James Dean, when he got the car, because he was a racer. When he got the car, he decided that, oh, he wanted to carry a few friends. Let them go into a restaurant and have some good food together. So one of the friends that he was going to get told the other friend, look what he said. The sports car looked sinister to me. Exhausted, hungry, feeling a little ill-tempered in spite of Dean's kindness, I heard myself saying in a voice I could hardly recognize as my own, please never get in it. If you get in that car, you'll be found dead in it by this time next week. Imagine, you just bought a new car. Some fellow is saying, don't get in it. Sports car. That you've called Little Bastard. You've even marked it 130. You want to go and pick that lady that has been saying no to show her. Let me read you a few things. The next week, at approximately 5:15 p.m., the next week, Dean and his friend drove, and then, well, long story short, they ran into a Ford truck that was coming just ahead of them, driven by a guy called Donald Turnup Speed. Interesting, right? The name of the guy who was driving Ford was Donald Turnup Speed. Tell the person beside you, life is spiritual. Don't just go around thinking life is normal. You think they are making what they are making by ordinary eye and hard work alone? No. No. Hard work and diligence is important. But everything that works on this earth is governed by the realm of the spirit. Everything. Did you hear what I said? Everything. You want to hear a bit more? Okay. Well, Dean immediately died. The owner of the car. The other guy, turn up speed, walked away with just a scratch on his nose. Somebody bought the wrecked Porsche for $2,500 and transported it back to his shop. The car slipped off at the trailer and broke the leg of a mechanic. Two people bought parts of the engine, Troy McHenry and William Eshreed, to build their own car, and they were racing against themselves. Henry lost control and slammed into a tree, the impact killing him instantly. The other was driving his car, and the wheel suddenly locked up for no apparent reason, sending the car rolling over into a ton, and the other was injured seriously. Somebody bought the two tires from the Little Bastard, and they were bought it, and they were in his garage, untouched since the accident that claimed Dean's life. He sold the tires, and both of them exploded simultaneously, causing the driver to run off the road. So every part of it, wherever it went to. You want more? Later, George Bacchios was hauling the wreckage of the Spider on a flatbed truck and was killed instantly when the Porsche fell on him after he was thrown from his truck in an accident. Mishap after mishap continued until 1960 when the twisted debris was on loan to a safety exhibit in Miami. Following the exhibit, the wreckage and the truck that was hauling it mysteriously vanished. They didn't see the car that was taking it and the wreckage, and since 1960 has not been seen. So you move into a new house and you and your wife are now fighting every time. You didn't used to fight before. You say it's because we have made some more money now. You are no more having respect for me. You don't understand spiritual things. That there would always be a logical reason. There's a wave. Because you can explain it does not mean it's not spiritual. You say, listen, I can tell you why. You don't know, they're already whining you from one place. One day you just step there, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thou foul spirit from hell, I take charge and authority over my home. You listen, tell the person beside you, fight. Thus far have you come and no further. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Fight. Fight. There are cursed things. Fight. As you pray, you'd have instructions, directions. Fight. Life is spiritual. Are you still here? Let me wrap up now. Have you gotten anything so far? You all look like we should go 6 hours more, right? And it's only them folks here. The other guys are like, you better. You're better. You know, yesterday, I was with the workers from 3 p.m. and we had a great time right on to you. We had a great time right on to the corporate prayers. And as I stepped out and sat in the car meditating, the Lord said, son, please let them go home. I never heard that in my life. He said, don't teach this evening. I said, but you gave me revelation to you. He said, no, let them go home. The moment I came up and I said, we should go, I could see the joy in the eyes of a few persons. Not everybody though, but a few persons. I said, in my heart, I said, Lord, no, that's not how it should be. He said, they are my children. Before your children. I said, okay. But I made a deal. Every second that I missed yesterday. Recompense, brother. Glory to God. Let me give you number two. I gave you just the first one. Let me give you the second one. Number two. In war, you lose or win based on what controls your mind. This is important, simple, but very vital. In war, you lose or win based, this is the determinant of victory or failure, based on what controls your mind. Now, you have to understand that in war, you keep your eyes on the ball. What is the ball? Prophecy, the word. You keep your eyes on it. It's the prized possession everybody is fighting for. Do you know, Satan is not fighting for your health. He's fighting for the word. He's not fighting for your money. He's not going to use it. He's fighting for the word. This is the corollary. He does not mind you having health and money if you don't have the word. He doesn't mind. How do I know? Was it not Satan who told Jesus to turn stone to bread? Is that not provision? Was it not Satan who told Jesus, if you bow to me, I will give you all the glories and the prosperities of this earth? Which means Jesus would have become a baller. Do you get what I'm saying here? He would have been balling. But he would have lost the word, if thou be the Son of God. God just told him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then Satan shows up, if thou be the Son of God. Which means, I don't mind if you're rich without the word. He doesn't mind. The prized possession is the word. That's why I don't understand believers who miss services. I don't understand it. Because what you heard yesterday is not enough. You have to receive more. I don't understand believers who don't read the Bible by themselves. I told you since Thursday, I believe, I said, we're going to binge on the book of Acts. What do we mean by word binge? I learned it from Gloria Copeland. He said, every now and then in your life, have moments where you just, you know how you binge on something. You're not reading because you're looking for instruction or revelation. Just keep reading. You can take the whole book in one day and read it. Play it in your car. Just get it into your system. You know why? This is the only thing that Satan knows can defeat him. The word. Are you following? So you keep your eyes on the ball. What is the ball? Prophecy. As one man, what are the words that have come to you? You keep your eyes on the ball. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Satan wants you to turn off your eyes. He said, let's go to the other side. And you're wondering, can we go to the other side? You tell yourself, I am going to the other side. You keep your eyes on the ball. Let me read you a scripture and then we close. John chapter 6. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus.
And the context is from about verse 62, actually a bit earlier, but for the sake of time, we'll take it from verse 66. What had happened was that Jesus preached one of those messages that they did not like. Okay? Now, I'd like us all to read verse 66 together. One, two, go. What does it say? Just a second. Who are these people? His disciples. Come on, talk to me. Not the multitude, not the crowd. Who are these people? His disciples. What did they do? They went back and walked no more with him. In essence, I ain't doing this Jesus business anymore. No. I'm done with it. Why are you done with it? You should have heard the rubbish he was saying last Sunday. He said we should eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we inside Amadiwa Shrine. What rubbish is that? Sometimes they just take us for a ride and for a fool. You don't know who I am before I came to church. Is it because I just left who I am? What nonsense? Is it because I'm even singing in their choir? I'm not muttering. And this was not average guys. Disciples. Disciples. Team leads. Ministers. Pastors. What am I doing? Zome fligira atos ki pastor. For first yet the Lord, if you not take your leg off the accelerator, it does not matter who does not believe in you again. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That partner left and said, I'm taking out my capital, does not change anything. For I am with you, saith the Lord. Do you understand this? With you. With you, saith the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at it. They walk no more with him. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. So these 12 remained. He said, how far, guys? Aren't you going? Will you go also go away? Now let's all read together. Want to go? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. This by itself is a phenomenal message. But this is not where I'm going to. Look at the next verse. Oh boy. Read it, one to go. And we believe and are sure. Just a second. We may not understand the message that you preached. There are things we don't understand. Why did it happen to me? I don't know. Why was it that this happened and that happened? Why did the Red Sea have to be me? I don't know. But we're not going to make decisions on what we don't know. For those who made decisions based on what they did not know, they walked away from Christ. He said, but we will leave what we don't know. We believe and we are sure. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Have you been in a place in your life where nothing was working and you didn't know what was happening? But I know God is good. Glory to God. I believe and I'm sure of his goodness. What fills your mind determines whether you have victory or failure. Many times, Satan gains the ascendancy and the advantage because we focus on what we don't understand and what we don't know. But Peter said, instead of behaving that way and thinking that way, rather, what we know is this. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. My question to you is, what do you know? I know he's a good God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I know that the sure message of David never departs from him. I know that he's a faithful God. So I may have started the business and it all collapsed. But I look at the wreckage and I say, God is a good God. Glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Why? Because we use what we know to defeat what we don't know. Are you hearing me? Oh, hallelujah. What do you know? Say this, I know God is a good God. You're not saying it as though you know this thing. Somebody shouted, I know! God is a good God! Can we shout another, I know? I know! All
about it. I know. Jacob, come. Come. You know what you do sometimes? You get into your room. You don't have anything to pray. Sometimes it's so heavy, you don't even know what to say. You know what you do? I know. I know. I said, I know. I know. I know. I know. Sometimes you have to shout it. I know.
I know.
I know. I know. Yes. I know. Give the Lord praise this morning. Bless Him and worship Him this morning. All over the room, lift your hands and give Him praise. No good word that is spoken to us is falling to the ground. No good word that is spoken to us is falling to the ground. No good word that He's spoken to us is falling to the ground. We have just 1 minute. I want you to worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Put the word on your lips this morning. Somebody declare the word. Put the word on your mouth. What prophecies have you received this year? What has the Lord said to you? What has the Lord said to you? Hallelujah. Just a second. In 2 minutes, you're going to take the posture of a conqueror and speak to things with the words of prophecy that you have. What are the things that you know? Now, you're not saying, Father, please help us change this. No, no, no. You're going to speak to things now. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You're going to speak to things. In the next 2 minutes, bring out your prophecy notes. Those places you have written those words of prophecy. What are those scriptures that He has fired into your heart for this year? Everybody under the sound of my voice, begin to declare words now. Begin to declare words right now. What are the things the Lord has said to you? Under this atmosphere, not one of those words will fall to the ground. Under this atmosphere, not one of those words will fall to the ground. Even if you have none, this may be your first time of learning these kind of things. Just keep declaring, all things are working together for my good. Keep declaring, I know and I believe that God is a good God. Keep declaring, nobody should be quiet at this time. The only way to function in the realm of the spirit is with words. You have to speak words out of your mouth. You have to speak words out of your mouth. You have to speak words out of your mouth. I don't care what has happened so far. Somebody raise up your voice and turn the tide of your life. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. For as you've spoken in the ears of the Lord, is done unto you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sit down for a bit. Still under that atmosphere of the Spirit. So when you get home, don't yield to the temptation of focusing on what you don't know. Say this with me. I know. The moment you get that evil report or you get that bill that seems like you can't pay it, you say, I know. They ask you, how do you know you will pay this bill? That one I don't know. That one I don't know. But I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Bow your heads, please, and pray in other tongues. If you're here and you're not born again, this is your moment. You've never said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, or this is the first time you're making that decision. Or it's a rededication, it's the start of a year and you want to start it aright. Please raise your hand towards heaven wherever you are. Every other person praying in the Holy Spirit.
Is there anybody like that in the auditorium? I can see that hand there. I'm going to wait for you. I can see that hand there. Please lift it well so the ushers can see you. Please lift it well so the ushers can see you. That's the greatest decision you can ever make. Every other person praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting for one, two more persons. One, two more persons who need to make that decision. Thank you for those of you that have lifted your hands. The Lord honor you. Where are the rest? You want to say yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? There's a young man. The Lord is speaking to me. There's a young man. You're struggling with it. You better respond to him now. I can see that hand. Quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Koraman de flikisu stala mangre kiasto pronon de ligotora ate seramande. If you're making that decision and you've received the form, please rise up on your feet right now, praying with you. Every other person, with your eyes closed, praying in the spirit wherever you are. If you have received the form, please rise up on your feet and lay your right hand on your chest. Thank you. And lay your right hand on your chest. Those of you that are making that decision, if you have received the form, please rise up on your feet and lay your right hand on your chest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say this after me if you're making that decision. And if you've not received the form, please keep your hands waved till you receive the form. It's important. It's important. We need your details so I can pray with you. So that I can pray for you. Say this with me, Heavenly Father. I come before you today acknowledging the gift of Jesus Christ. I believe with my heart that He died on the cross in my behalf. I believe that He shed His blood on my behalf. Right now, I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord over my life. Thank you, Father. I am born again and I am saved in the name of the Lord Jesus.